Welcome to Window on North Korea. I'm Fran Kelleher, your host. This episode will deal a little more with the North Korean participation in this winter's Olympics and also the role of sports in everyday life. We've been hearing a lot about the combined North-South women's hockey team.
And besides the hockey players, there are 10 other athletes from the North have come to participate in the Winter Olympics in South Korea. They're in the events of figure skating, speed skating, cross-country skiing, and alpine skiing. Athletics in general have risen in profile and standing among North Koreans since Kim Jong-un came to power. His grandfather, Kim Il-sung, and his father, Kim Jong-il, were both big fans and supporters of artistic pursuits. Kim Jong-il considered himself quite a film buff, and he even managed to have a prominent South Korean director, film director, and his actress wife kidnapped and brought to North Korea. They lived there for several years making films for Kim Jong-il, but managed to escape back to South Korea eventually. There were successful athletes occasionally performing in international competitions during those eras and gained recognition and financial awards from the government. But they were always less than the awards bestowed upon artists that were similarly accomplished in their fields. Kim Jong-un, however, has shifted the focus to athletics programs and elevated their standing. An article in the daily NK.com attempts to describe the process of how athletes are picked and trained for international competition. National athletics organizations are formed by combining the accomplished athletes from the Ministry of the Armed Forces, the Ministry of People's Safety or Security, a law enforcement agency, and from the Railroad Ministry. Sounds like a random field of potential candidates, but also anyone who comes in first in a national competition is automatically eligible to compete internationally. Once an organization has formed of these chosen athletes, they train together at training centers in the Pyongyang area. And this is all under the supervision of the central government's Chosun Athletics Guidance Committee, Chosun being the ancient name for the entire peninsula of Korea. Each sports organization ranks its athletes into 7 levels, 7 being the lowest and 1 being the highest. So you enter with no ranking and you gradually work your way up. Special titles are bestowed on those who win gold medals in international competition, and they advance up to level 1 or 2, having done so. Winners in regional Asian games are called meritorious athletes, and those who win in global competitions, such as the Olympics, are bestowed with the title of people's athletes. But you can even advance beyond that if you manage to, as the article put it, cast a particular positive light on the country or the leader. Such athletes earn the title of work hero or hero of the republic. They are given cars and homes in Pyongyang, highly coveted prize to be able to live in Pyongyang, and even granted seats in the Supreme People's Committee, which is the country's kind of rubber stamp parliament. So even though they are kind of rubber stamp politicians, they do manage to acquire some political clout. An example of how an athlete manages to become a hero or heroine of the republic is the once well-known woman Jung Song-ok, who was not only fast on her feet, but also quick of mind under pressure. She was a marathon runner in the 1999 World Championships in Athletics. Interestingly, she ran the race as a pace setter for the favored North Korean runner and didn't even have the country's flag on her uniform. So when she won the marathon, much to everyone's surprise, the announcers weren't even sure which country she was from or who she was. Quoting from a DailyNK.com article, which was titled, "Even the Fate of Athletes Rests on Loyalty," this is quoting from the article now, Jung ingratiated Kim Jong-il at the following press conference by saying, "I ran the whole 42 kilometers thinking of the general. It was only by doing so that I have been bestowed with this honor." Her entry in the North Korean encyclopedia says she, quote, "gave the people a message of hope in the middle of the march of tribulation, and her praise of Kim Jong-il played a role in stimulating the people politically." The march of tribulation was their period of famine in the late 1990s. It also lists her official decorations to include Heroine of the Republic, a gold star, a first-class national ensign, and the title of People's Athlete, ending the quote from the NK News article. There, she was given all the usual rewards of a heroine of the Republic, and her whole family was moved to Pyongyang. Mysteriously, however, about 10 years later, her name suddenly was dropped from the list of our nation's praiseworthy daughters. She hasn't been heard from, or at least heard about, again. So she also became an example of how easily one's fortune can be reversed in the blink of an eye in North Korea. As for how athletes are chosen to train for international competition in the first place, it is one area of North Korean life where one's talent or athletic prowess trumps one's social standing. Your social ranking, or sangbun, is determined by your family's history going back generations and by your loyalty to the state. There are three general classes of sangbun, the loyal class, the wavering class, and the hostile class, but these are broken down into around 50 subclasses, and everyone has a specific sangbun class assigned to them. In most realms of North Korean life, your sangbun is the most important determinant of your potential for future advancement in life and access to education and employment. But in athletics, sangbun be damned, if you have the skill, you have the potential to be chosen for training at a Pyongyang training center and to achieve success. However, if you do advance to an internationally competitive level, sangbun again enters into the picture. If they're going to trust you to be exposed to the outside world and all of its degenerate capitalist temptations, you need to be screened pretty intensively and your loyalty and sangbun vetted thoroughly. You can bet anyone participating in this month's Olympics has been both training and being investigated for many months, even though the team's willingness to participate was only shared with the outside world in January. I read just today a rumor about two of the North Korean women hockey players who were merged with the South Korean team to make a unified Korean team are actually undercover security agents. They're to keep an eye on the others and discourage defections. It's a common practice to send such agents with any and all athletic and other groups traveling outside of North Korea. Returning to our intended focus of this series on everyday North Korean lives, I want to share a couple articles from the North Korean state media from inside North Korea, although they are in English and written as propaganda for outside consumption. On these relatively atypical topics, however, we can take them with a few fewer grains of salt than the other articles extolling the superhuman powers of the ruling family. Mounting Enthusiasm for Sports is the title of an article from North Korea's central news agency about, quote, the importance of making sports activities mass-based and part of everyday life. It focuses on the example of the SciTech complex and its encouragement of mass-based sports. I'll just quote from that article a little bit here. Staffed mostly by researchers, the SciTech complex attaches primary importance to making sports activities mass-based and part of daily life. It has excellently laid out volleyball and tennis courts and table tennis halls in the compound, thus encouraging all officials and researchers to take an active part in physical exercises and sports games. It is taking into account the abilities of the people and classifying them into several categories as suited to the enterprising and competitive features of intellectuals in organizing competitions, so as to create a favorable environment and atmosphere to make everybody participate in sports activities. Such measures encourage the growing number of people to engage in sports activities, and the sporting grounds, which were used by only some sports enthusiasts at first, are always crowded with people, not only in leisure times, but also on Saturdays.
Not only this, the employees of the complex help each other and lead forward to further successes in the work, and the complex is always pervaded with optimistic sentiment.
End quote from the article. So the people working at the SciTech complex engage in all of these sports in their free time, and then they get together and compete in annual civil servants competition. So another article about the Paekdusan Prize Games of Civil Servants at its height. So this is just in the last week, the 23rd annual Prize Games of Civil Servants grew fiercer as they are coming to a close. Just a little quote from this article about these games where all the civil servants get together for their own, kind of like little mini Olympics for the country of North Korea. Quoting, the tug-of-war final match between the State Planning Commission and the Ministry of Railways on February 5th at the Taekwondo Hall grew particular interest of the spectators as they had already met in the Group A final last year. In the first round, the former, the Planning Commission, beat the opponent by employing a tactic combining pulls at high and low postures and yanks. The latter tried counterattack from defense while maintaining stable posture in the second round. The Commission's team played the game dynamically by ensuring the unity of action with flexible charges of tactics according to the flag signal of its leader. It won the seesaw battle in 1 minute and 12 seconds. And it goes on to describe a badminton match between the Ministry of Metallurgical Industry and the State Planning Commission. So just sharing those both so that you can appreciate the role of sports in everyday North Korean lives. They carry on these competitions among their respective bureaucratic agencies. And so you can hear a little bit of the tone of the writing there, which I think it's not just for outside propaganda. They write in this manner for themselves as well. And you might have gotten that impression from the voice of the woman North Korean newscaster that introduces most of these segments on Window on North Korea.